Blog Talk Radio.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, advisor, Oloye, Hudu, Obeya, Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African Hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion, just a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is critical to the very foundation of my manifestation, my truth, my demonstration, my walk here along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense of how all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. That place from where I begin and that place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. I am broadcasting with you now live this Saturday, September 15th, 2015, from this very enchanted, beautiful, historic, legendary city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey, hoodoo, New Orleans voodoo secrets and recipes. I must first acknowledge my absence. I have warned you in previous shows that we would be starting production of the remake of Roots. In IMDb, it's listed as Roots 2016, but it is a remake of the Alex Haley TV series Roots. Many of us, particularly those of my generation, remember growing up with this epic. It was a family time. It was community time. It was a major thing in its time, in its decade. And to be brought to television by Alex Haley. Alex Haley will be portrayed by Loris Fishburne in the new installment, the new remake, if you will, of this epic production. We've also been moving forward the second season of NCIS New Orleans. That's sort of like my home. That's my family. That's my main job, if you will. I greatly appreciate being a part of NCIS New Orleans. We have a great season coming for you in the next few weeks, I believe. It will be airing the second season of NCIS New Orleans. I believe that will be airing on CBS. So I'm going to now attempt to move back into our regularly scheduled programming, if you will. Pick up our timeline, if you will, of history, but also of practice of New Orleans voodoo. The last episode, we were somewhere around the Mississippi River as the superhighway of the nation of that time period. And so the practices of voodoo, of New Orleans voodoo, and many other traditions that were being practiced here made their way upriver and sort of crystallized into the foundation of what has now become hoodoo. For as many authors as you can find, there are definitions of what that is. But historically speaking, but also in terms of practice, because you can't separate the two, documentary historians, authors, writers will attempt to project their understanding of these traditions onto the art, onto the work, onto the piece that's being produced about these traditions. So you have a historic, documented archaeologically trackable practice of voodoo and hoodoo here. But then you also have that which is common to the people who are actually doing the work every day, who are actually a part of this tradition in every manifestation of this work. And that is beyond the book. That is beyond the performance, if you will, the dance, the window into the culture, which may be given to you via a tour guide or a tour group or some current event that might be going on in town. But in order to see, to know, to experience, to learn the truth and reality of these practices, you must be in the community with those who are doing this work. Now, I have to ask, what do you know about voodoo? Where did you learn that? Where did you hear that? Where did you experience that? Those are among some of the very first questions you should ask, not only yourself, but those who you are seeking to represent this tradition. Voodoo is not accurately portrayed in movies, in TV, in books. Even some documentaries and non-fictional books are very misleading about these traditions, particularly if they are not part of them, if they are not privy to them, if they're not practicing them. Voodoo isn't a cult. It is not black magic. It is not devil worship. People who practice voodoo are not witch doctors, sorcerers, or occultists. Those are very different things, very different systems, a very different range of knowledge and information. Voodoo is not a practice intended to hurt, kill, maim, or control. So we must go back to the historical practice and tradition of voodoo, and then its representation, which for many is how they develop their understanding of what this tradition is. So we pick up at hoodoo in the Mississippi River, and we could even go as far as to say, for me, this would mark the beginnings of the disconnect from God-based worship, ancestral-based worship, spiritual practice and religion, to sort of meeting the needs of the commercial market, the popular market, with many of the early hoodoo innovations to the tradition. We begin to see tricks. We begin to see mojos that are designed specifically to cater to people's individual, I'll even say ego-based, carnal-based wants, desires, and needs. This is the beginning of the watering down of the tradition. The watering down of the tradition didn't happen because of the Haitian Revolution. Didn't happen because of, let's say, even slavery. Many people think that because of enslavement, because of the Middle Passage, because of the breakdown of the community, the breakdown of the family, from that early inception, that these traditions obviously would have been lost. I beg to differ with that. You still had a great deal of common knowledge, common memory, and then adaptability that took place that allowed these traditions to survive in the new world. And we will often give credit to Cuba for that. We will often give credit to Puerto Rico for that. We will often give credit to Brazil for that. We'll give credit everywhere except Black America for the holding of, the commitment to these traditions. It's only when we get into Black America, history, documentation, representation of our connection to these traditions, that we then begin to hear words like watered down, words like borrowed from, even more extreme representations, which would say that we have no practice at all. which would say that we have no traditions at all, all of which are not archaeologically correct, are not historically correct. Anyone who's spent any time in study, any time in research, knows that there's plenty of documentation of the pre-Haitian revolutionary presence of voodoo in New Orleans. It came straight from the continent. With every African brought here to be enslaved, they brought their traditions, they brought their memories, they brought their root understanding. Many of the plants, many of the foods that we eat today and think are somehow akin to America, somehow akin to American geography, are West African. Came here with the West Africans, were then planted and maintained here with these West Africans because the plantation owners knew that we would have a greater success rate of developing, raising, propagating vegetation that we were familiar with, that we somehow had an expertise in, a regional consciousness to. The rice and grain and other products that were produced in the Carolinas were very specific to the Gullah Geechee, very specific to the Ghanaians, to the Liberians, to those West Africans who were familiar with those products in the homeland. And many of these products are not indigenous to the Americas. Many of the produce, if you will, that we think of as American was not indigenous to the Americas, was brought here. Many of the herbs that we now seek to eliminate, poison, chemicalize, that are really natural to health and to remedy, like dandelion, like clover, were brought here from Europe, as an extension of this middle passage. So almost everything that we think that we know and understand, particularly religiously and specifically spiritually, has its roots in Europe and has its roots in Africa. This predates the Haitian revolutionary vibration, which those of you who have been listening to me now for many years know that I've talked about that at length. It's critical to the survival of voodoo in the New World. It brought a whole revitalization, a revival, if you will, to this practice, to this tradition. For some, it even gave some outward representation of credibility to the powers contained within these pots, these taurines, these coveys, these wangas, these paquets, you know, and so on. So we can't overlook the effect of Haitian Revolution in the survival of the traditions here in the New World in general. But they are not the source. They are not the birthing mother solely of these practices, solely of these traditions. So we must then begin to look at that, but then also begin to look at common usage. Many of the negatives that survive today about the practice of voodoo are an extension of the misuse of the tradition and a great deal of the commercialization, marketing, the puppetry and drama that went with the promotion of hoodoo and hoodoo tradition. The change in how we addressed spirit for more less communal needs to more personalized, individualized, selfish, ego-based needs. And we still see that common today. Many will seek out the voodoo practitioner, will seek out the Orisha priest, will seek out the Baba Lao, will seek out the Sangoma to cater to very selfish, carnal, individualized desires and needs. And that's not without judgment of, you know, is it right or wrong? what's being asked? Is it right or wrong? What's being sought after? Is it even realistic? I've spent a great deal of effort in my 30 years in this tradition, in this practice, in this ministry, but even more so the 10 years since Hurricane Katrina, in professionalizing the practice so that it can be accessed by the greater community, those who may not necessarily be initiated into these traditions, born into the community where these traditions are being practiced, to sort of meet that crossover, for lack of a better word, need. But it's a very dicey proposition. I turned down a lot of requests. Many of you who contacted me know it comes with a wealth of documentation. I document everything. I save everything. I ask people to communicate by email for a very specific reason. It's very easy to say something and be misunderstood on the phone. It's very easy to say something, request something, and then have a very different expectation of what's being expected, what's being asked, what's being delivered without that documentation. It's a hard crossover for many in our community between religion, spirituality, and then making that widely available to the public. And I'm not going to digress too much because I can do a whole show just on that. And we've talked about this already, the effects of tourism, the effects of commercialism, the effects of commercialized performance, the effects of the looky-loo into the practice, the person who seeks to gain from the practice without seeking to honor, show reverence to the deities that we call on to do this work. The practitioners do not do the work. It is the spirit. It is the God. It is the ancestors that we acknowledge, that we feed, that we placate, that we manifest, that do the work. It's a very dicey area. And me and Voodoo Queen Kalinda LeBeau talk about this a lot. Many of the Mardi Gras Indians talk about this. The baby dolls talk about this. The skull and bones talk about this. The marching bands and the second lines talk about this. Because we now live in a society where the clothing costs money. The suits cost money. The materials to produce the suits cost money. The altar work, the pots and the porcelain and the tureens and the glass and the candle work and the oil all cost some revenue within the system. Your U.S. dollar, your Canadian dollar, wherever you are in the world. And so keeping the profound separate from the sacred has become more challenging today. And there are many who are in the business for the business, particularly here locally in our community. And we're often very clear about that. There's no threat there. There's no direct competition there. Because we're offering two very different things, two very different experiences, often to a very different group of people. But when you start getting into the work, the serious work, calling on spirit, accessing powers, acknowledging ancestors, awaking the dead even. Our commitment to integrity, our commitment to morality, our commitment to truth must overpower everything that we do. must be in the forefront of our mind, must be the priority. Without that, I would not have survived 30 years in doing this. We are targeted at every level in this dimensional space, in this reality. Spirit practitioners, particularly voodoo obia, which by many are not, you know, honored as a organized, structured religious practice. I'm here to say once again that we are. Many of us are. I'm not the only practitioner who has taken great extremes to acknowledge the traditions, the protocols of the traditions, but also the protocols of the systems, the governments that we exist within. But let me be clear. No attacks will go unchallenged. No abuses will go unchallenged. No disrespect will go unchallenged. And I would like to humbly believe that my survival and my success rate, my 5-star rating with King, with Kasamba, with PayPal, with the National Research Foundation in professional, expert, customer service, all give credence to my attention, my commitment to integrative work. I don't violate my protocol for anybody. I won't violate the protocols of the religion for anybody. And with that comes divine protection, divine blessings, divine prosperity. The devil always thinks that he's the first and he's the best. The devil always thinks that he's the first to bring a challenge. The devil always thinks that he's the first to test the system. The devil always believes that he's the first to get by, to get through, to succeed where that has not been done before and where it should not be done. I'm here to say, I'm here to fight the devil in every form, in every manifestation. I know some of you, and particularly the younger generations, are confused about the devil. You're confused about Lucifer. You're confused about that angel, those deities, and who and what they represent, where they came from, and who they are to us in this tradition. That comes from, again, that abusive practice. Beyond hoodoo, witchcraft, dark magic, black magic, some of these more modern things that have now come about, which have been a part of sort of removing the moral compass from a particular generation of people now who operate purely from ego, purely from self-gain, purely from vanity, purely from carnality, purely from the flesh. And though that is popularized, though that is fashionable, though we see it in pop culture, we see it in movies, we see it in TV, we see it in commercials, it doesn't make it any more reality. It doesn't make it any more a realistic foundation to stand upon. It doesn't make it any more prevalent. It doesn't make it any more powerful. Righteousness will still overstand all evil. Integrity will still overstand all challenges based in fact, fiction, or lies. We must be clear about the source, the root of these traditions, of these practices, and those who are truly committed. How serious are you about your voodoo? How serious are you about your mojo? Is your voodoo as serious as your money? Is your voodoo as serious as your food, your fun, your life? Is it as serious as your commitment to how good you look, to how well you live, to what man or woman you have? Because when it comes to the battle at the crossroads, when the nails are being added to the coffin, and direct correlation with our karmic account, all this other stuff is going to be irrelevant. All this other stuff becomes foolishness. And let me tell you, I don't play with my reputation. Ask anybody, Google me. I don't play around with my reputation. And I don't allow others to play around with it either. I don't care where you're from, New York, New Jersey, Philly. I don't care where you're from, Haiti, Togo, Nigeria. I don't play around with the spirits, with the ancestors. Therefore, I don't play around with my reputation. My reputation is hoodoo, New Orleans voodoo, Oloye, Obey Obokur, the witch doctor, Yellow Pocahontas. So if you're going to come correct. Come in truth, come in practice, because lip service is one thing. What you do is a whole other thing. What can be accounted for at the spirit level is much more powerful than what we can fake with our lips. It's more powerful than what we can give lip service to. Many of the traditions that we consider dark, that we consider negative, that we consider in the realm of black magic and witchcraft, are based in ego. When we look at the slave revolts, slavery itself, and the realities of that, the conditions that Obeya was birthed in, the conditions that the Bokur was birthed in, we're talking about people battling systems, battling evil, battling oppression, who otherwise had no out, had no means of response, had no means of getting back. So what people access witchcraft for and black magic for is not the same as what we access Obeya for, what we utilize these traditions for. The secrecy is maintained not now because, you know, we might be lynched, even though that's not far from truth. You know, political lynching, media-based lynching, reputation-based lynching, you know, in this modern context. But I've often said the secrecy is maintained that people don't hurt themselves and other people with foolishness. I'm going to take a quick break. I will be forward with more hoodoo, New Orleans voodoo secrets and recipes here on Block Talk Radio, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe. divine peace and blessings. We might be having some kind of technical difficulty here at Block Talk Radio. My switchboard shows that I might not be having audio right now. And I'm trying to figure out a way to see if I can test it or fix it, but it's not coming through. I'm not even sure if I can be heard right now. So I'm going to go to the phone lines and see if I can get some kind of confirmation there. Eric code 469. I just opened your line. Can you hear me? Okay, something is not happening here. This is why this is one of the reasons, beyond just my schedule, that I don't commit more to Blog Talk Radio. There's always some problem. Now, I just reactivated my subscription. I was prepared to do a two-hour show, and now I'm not getting any audio. I'm having a difficulty connecting with my callers, so I can't even get verification from you guys right now if you actually can hear me. Oh, wow. Blog Talk Radio is something else. Give me just a moment here. I'm trying to regain my switchboard, and I'm having a problem with that. Oh, wow. Well, if you can hear me, I do apologize. I know I didn't announce it previously, but I was prepared to do a two-hour show today, especially since I had been off for the last few days. But it now looks like that might not happen. If I can't access my internet, I'm sorry, my Block Talk Radio switchboard, then I can't conduct the show. Yeah, my whole Block Talk Radio switchboard has gone down. So I don't even know now if I'm being heard. I can't see who's still waiting to figure out what's going on. I do apologize. As soon as I can figure something out, I'll post it. I'll get back with you. And I may end up just moving my format to another venue other than Block Talk Radio altogether, maybe Reverb Nation. So until next time, all is a blessing. Akshay.